Hello and welcome to Good Morning Thailand. Today we'll be talking about some of the news topics from across the country. I'm Jay.
And I'm Alex.
And we're going to start with our first story today, which is regarding a CIB raid on mall seizes uncertified art toys and ignites debate. The Central Investigation Bureau raided a prominent shopping mall in Bang Yai, confiscating numerous art toys lacking Thai industrial standards. The certification I'm talking about. Sparking online debate, vendors questioned the criteria for distinguishing genuine from counterfeit goods, and concerns emerged about the mall's management role in protecting vendors. The raid highlighted the complexities local businesses face in adhering to product certification regulations. Now, Alex, Thailand's known for copy items.
Yeah.
I think this organization has never heard of MBK Mall. But in general, most of the malls don't have, counterfeit items. They usually have the real ones. Have you ever encountered any counterfeit items in malls?
I mean, come on. Like, I don't know. Like, especially coming from Asia in general, like China. China, of course, is like the king of all of this, the Chinese knockoffs. But yeah, I just feel for the vendors, really, who maybe they know they don't know that they're getting counterfeit products and then they're selling them. I mean, they have to know what the prices that they're selling them at. However, it just seems like this is one of those things that's very protectionist to the brands, and Thai people at on the street level are a little unaware of what the regulations actually are. And of course, this also hurts consumers. Like, this is a big raid that really disrupted the entire mall too from operating regularly. So I don't know. It seems like one of those situations where they want to finally, they can enforce the rules, and there they did. So if you're hawking counterfeit goods, be on the lookout, because it seems like there's a crackdown happening.
A quick moment before we move on to the direct story. It looks like we're sliding down. Yeah.
Are we? What's happening? Is the camera moving or something?
I don't know. Yeah, it is tilted. Jason, can you ask a favor, please? The camera's a bit tilted.
We are. You're right.
$21 already.
Oh, legends. Nice. Okay, cool. Thank you. We got donations coming
every
in.
Every dollar matters.
Yes, okay. Hold on. Let's see. Is it the table? Is our. Oh, this needs to be. Pull it on my side. Yep. Okay. That was a fun little technical difficulty. Are we even yet? There we go.
Are we even, Steven Seagal?
Mostly there. Yes. Oh. I think we look good.
Another classic tiger moment.
Anyways, let's move on to our next story, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the Thai police have seized 14.8 kilograms of heroin bound for Taiwan. That's right. Thai police
have seized 14.8 kilograms of heroin.
All right. Anyways, the Thai police intercepted 14.8 kilograms of heroin hidden in two ice-making machines destined for Taiwan. The operation involved collaboration between Thai and Taiwanese authorities and followed a previous raid in Jakarta linked to drug lord Freddy Pratama. The heroin, valued at 100 million baht in Taiwan, underscores the significant price disparity of narcotics between Thailand and neighboring countries. The ONCB is intensifying efforts to gather evidence and widen the investigation. The Golden Triangle seems to be alive and well. Heroin is still a black market commodity, and it fetches a higher price in other neighboring nations, so the incentive is there. Like, worth over 100 million baht, my God, it's going to probably keep happening. But raids lead to more raids. People flip on each other, and this was intercepted. So, off the streets of Taiwan.
Off the streets of Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. Or never hitting the streets of Taiwan, I guess I should say.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our next story, which is regarding a viral video that captures a brawl between Pattaya and Phuket trans women. Here's another one for the viral clips. A video showing a violent clash between trans women from Pattaya and Phuket in Soi Bangla, Phuket, went viral on Thai social media. The altercation occurred in front of the New York bar and involved physical and verbal confrontation. Pathong police fined six transgender women 1,000 baht each for voluntary physical assault. The incident sparked significant attention and discussion online. Alex, you love a good brawl.
Yeah, who doesn't, man? I'm a big fan of combat sports, but licensed and regulated people, keep it off the streets.
Yeah.
It's just, come on, like, this doesn't happen, it happens too much, guys. Like, I don't know. It's one of those things where you would expect some camaraderie.
Yeah.
in a sort of minority status. That is not the case.
That is not the case. Yeah. So you might have got some flashback from a previous story we did a couple of months ago between Filipino and Thai transgenders. Yeah. And just in case if you were confused, they don't discriminate. They also have civil wars in Patong, Phuket. They fight their own, guys.
Indeed. It's a lot of territory wars. You know how it goes, man.
Who are we to judge? What happened? Who started it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like the slap on the wrist fine, too. Just like, hey, come on, knock it off.
Stop it. 1,000 baht. 1,000 baht for like a fight club fight in Bangla.
Yeah. It's not, like, honestly, they could make more money selling tickets for that stuff.
It's I frown upon assault and fighting, and I am not for it. Mm-hmm. I'm against it. But that doesn't hide the fact that it can be very entertaining for some people who are bystanders.
Well, that's why I'm saying get this stuff organized, girl. Sell some tickets. Make some money off of this altercation. You can still you can still build up the narratives and beef, too. It'd be great. Like a pro wrestling league. I love it. All right. Well, anyways, got a weird one coming up next. Now, a Bangkok man finally gets the mental help that he needs after a 2-year feces-hurling habit.
What?
That's right. A man in Bangkok's Ratchada area began receiving mental health treatment after throwing feces at neighbors' houses for over 2 years. Despite evidence from CCTV cameras, the man's parents denied his involvement. Authorities found his room filled with rubbish and human waste, contradicting his parents' claims. He was taken to Somdet Chapraya Institute of Psychiatry for treatment, despite his parents' protests. So the neighbors set up a CCTV camera and finally caught him brown-handed. And then they finally apprehended him, and he's getting mental health help. That's what I like about this. They're not throwing him in jail, which would probably only exacerbate his problems. But, 2 years poo-flinging habit, I'd say that mental health help was long overdue. So better late than never. Hope he gets better.
Yeah, hope he does. All right.
You good?
Yeah, there's no winning in that story. There's many different ways to look at it. Look, I hope this person gets the mental help that they need. Like, clearly, a stable person doesn't just throw feces at people's houses every day.
I think it has a lot to do with the parents denying that anything's wrong. It's like, guys, did you see the room? He hasn't cleaned his room since he was a kid.
Although there are many opportunities to make fun of this situation or even get angry or make many comments, I think it's when we do talk about stories like this, it's really about a lot of people out there just need help. And I hope the right help is provided to this human being.
Yeah, to me, the story is the parents denying. My son's an angel, blah, blah, blah. He'd never do anything wrong. That's how we end up with a lot of terrible stories in America. Exactly. So I think it's important for parents to recognize the signs that their own children need help.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't provide it.
There's a lot of stories or reality in Thailand is where a lot of families give up on... their family members who are mentally unstable, and they just kind of like let them roam the streets and stuff. It's quite common here. Mm-hmm. And what's more sad is that sometimes the government doesn't step in, or we don't have the infrastructure or facilities here where these people get the right help.
Yeah, agree completely. Drives the homelessness problem for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to move on to our next story for now, which is regarding everyone's favorite fruit, durian. Because a Thai woman sells durian in a bikini, ignores online drama. Kun Aranya, a 22-year-old durian vendor known as Om, gained attention for selling durians in a bikini in Kampang Phet, Thailand. Despite controversy over her attire, Om emphasizes the quality of her durians from Rayong. She continues to sell durians both in person and online while facing scrutiny from her provocative dress, which she insists is a personal preference.
Come on. Yeah. That's just marketing 101, people.
Do what you got to do, lady.
Yeah. That seems like a...
I want your durians.
Yeah. I'm not a fan, but I'm just picturing, just holding them up right there. And it's an easy marketing tactic.
Hey.
I don't know.
Haters going to hate. People are like, how dare she? I mean, come on. Everybody's, if you could, you would.
Yeah, I mean, it does drive that sort of thing, like with the whole Instagram notion of just show a little bit of skin, you get followers and stuff like that. But she's actually trying to sell something. Hey. Like, she's not selling herself, she's selling durians, baby. Yeah.
If you're not helping paying her bills and helping to live her life, then how what right do you have to comment on how she earns her living?
Yeah, we got some fun comments already coming in. I'll have her durian, and I don't even like durian.
Yeah.
And Damien says, it's hot there. Come on.
I'm waiting for when the government comes out and says, we've seen a sudden spike in tourist visits to Kampeng Pet.
Mm-hmm. For some reason. Yeah. Can't figure it out.
We don't know. I've heard they've got good durians.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, it's going viral, apparently.
Hey, Ryong does have really good durians. Just saying.
All right. Well, on to our last story. This could be good news for a lot of expats trying to make a life here in Thailand, because Thailand is unveiling a new 10-year visa to attract top global talent. That's right, Thailand introducing a 10-year visa to attract top-tier professionals to its Eastern Economic Corridor, or EEC. The visa, which allows a 5-year stay with the possibility of extension, targets specialists, executives, professionals, and their families. The government also introduced a personal income tax cap of 17%. Prime Minister Sreta Thavisin directed the Agricultural Ministry to modernize agricultural infrastructure to enhance food production and income for farmers as well. All part of that EEC initiative.
Yeah.
So it seems like, they're really trying to make a lot of pushes in the tech industry, in the automaking industry. You're going to need foreign talent for a lot of that stuff. Yeah. A lot of that stuff isn't homegrown Thai intellectual infrastructure. So it's important to bring in experts from around the world.
I love the EEC.
I know you do. He never shuts up about it. As soon as the camera's off.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, that's about it for our stories for GMT today.
Yeah.
We do have our ASEAN news stories coming up next.
Okay.
Are you keen to get started?
Shall we go for it? Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's hit it. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing a few ASEAN stories. Here we go. The Indonesian police raid a major drug lab in Bali Villa. Indonesian police raided a drug lab in a Bali villa, arresting four individuals. The villa housed labs for producing ecstasy ingredients and growing marijuana. The raid followed a tip from a previous raid in Jakarta linked to drug lord Freddy Pratanama.
Same guy.
Yeah. The suspects could face execution under Indonesia's strict drug laws. Indonesia remains a major smuggling hub targeted by international syndicates.
That's the same guy from our story earlier.
Was he?
Yeah. That shocked me for a second. I didn't know that when I was putting them together.
Hey.
That guy's busy, apparently.
It's an international syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
No, and I have nothing bad to say against him.
Right. Good. Better. But seriously, Indonesia takes that stuff so seriously. They do met out the death penalty. It was a big controversy in Australia when some Australian nationals were captured there smuggling, I think it was methamphetamine, into the country.
Yeah.
And they did eventually execute them, despite Australia's protests. It was an international incident.
Yeah.
So Indonesia takes that stuff so seriously to the point that they will ruin some of their diplomatic relationships over it. So don't mess with that stuff over there. All right, on to our next story. Now, Singapore. There's some big news coming out as Lawrence Wong is sworn in as the new prime minister, the first leadership change in 20 years. Now, Lawrence Wong was inaugurated as Singapore's fourth prime minister, succeeding Lee Hsien Loong. Wong emphasized his commitment to serving Singapore and adapting to global changes. His new cabinet includes Trade and Industry Minister Gan Kim Yong and Deputy Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong as senior minister. Wong rose to prominence during the COVID-19 pandemic and will lead the ruling People's Action Party into the next general election. He is the first prime minister to lead Singapore that was born after the city gained independence. This is one of the keys to Singapore's success, is I think that they have very long-tenured sort of philosopher kings, if you want to call them that. Like, I am hesitant. There are democratic institutions within Singapore. Obviously, he's a prime minister.
Yeah.
That is a democratic position. But these guys hold office for like 20 years, right? Like, that's a long time. That's not typical. But also, if things are running well and smoothly, there's an argument for, hey, why would we change that? Like, everything's going well. So it is a big move. It is still from the incumbent party, so it's not really a huge shift in sort of policy changes. But big news. It's the first guy born after They gained their independence.
Yep.
Also, fun fact, did you know Singapore are the only country to gain independence unwillingly?
Really?
Yeah, they were forced into independence. They did not want to be independent. It's an interesting story. Yeah.
Well, Singapore also the strongest passport in the world.
Yeah. They know how to. They know how to diplomacy for
they
sure.
They have visa exemptions to 201 countries. How do you even? Yeah, great.
Yeah,
so something I can't understand with my passport.
A little bit of soul selling there, but yeah, it's okay.
All right, we're going to move on to our last story, which takes us to Malaysia. Malaysia is outraged over Meta's removal of posts on Prime Minister's Hamas meeting.
Mm.
Malaysia's communications minister condemned Meta platforms for removing posts by local media about Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim's meeting with Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. Malaysia, a supporter of the Palestinian cause, demanded an explanation from Meta. Meta, which designates Hamas as a dangerous organization, has not responded. Last October, Fahmi warned of potential action against social media firms blocking pro-Palestine content.
Mm.
Are they allowed to do that?
I mean, so
Facebook, their platform, right?
It's their platform, right? And but this is the big news this week out of Malaysia is that the Prime Minister went to meet directly with Hamas leaders.
Yeah.
Which obviously the West 100% just declares Hamas as a terrorist organization. So that's a big controversy to see a major world leader going to meet with the Hamas organization.
Yeah.
And they're doubling down. So obviously Meta has been playing this game, trying to there's plenty of pro-Palestine stuff all over Instagram and Facebook, but this being censored, they're calling attention to it, I don't know. They could, what it is Facebook's platform, but what Malaysia can do is shut down the platform within Malaysia. So that's a lot of money gone for Facebook. So I don't know. We'll see what the Meta is staying quiet for now, probably silent or smartly, I think, but we'll see how that plays out.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Those were some of the stories from across Thailand and ASEAN.
Mm.
There are more stories, of course, on thetiger.com and aseannow.com, the largest expat
forum. There it is.
That was the word I was looking for. The largest expat forum in Thailand. We've got multiple threads, and we're trying to get more and more people to have more and more information onto the threads. There's actually a ton of information there for, you know, how to get your visa done, what form you need. Very valuable information. So do go check it out. And
It is still a very Thai focus on ASEAN now, and it's a very different blend of what you get than what you get on the Tiger for sure. Yeah. And that's another thing. Now that we have ASEAN, we're trying to expand our scope a little bit and try to include a lot of our neighbors into the information you get. So, it's good stuff.
Well, for now, let's.